Again, welcome to each one on this Father's Day, and welcome to the visitors. Pray that you'll be encouraged today as you're worshiping here with us. Father's Day, I don't know what pops in your mind. I know this morning there's a lot of probably different emotions over Father's Day. There's fathers here that are holding newborn babies, and that's an incredible experience. To hold a newborn baby. There's fathers here who may have lost their father in the last year, have laid to rest their father. And my heart's heavy too as we think of Sam and Kathy and their family. This Father's Day is different than any other Father's Day. But I'm thankful that in every season of our life, we have Jesus as our rock for the highs and for the lows. He never lets go is the song we just sung. I'm thankful, too, for a body that God designed to have a body of Christ that we fellowship with that can be there for us in the highs and the lows. So I'll just bless you as a congregation for being there in so many ways in the life of a congregation, in birth and in death. I want to bless you in being there. Father's Day, a day to recognize our fathers, to honor them, not to worship them, to honor them. Not only our fathers, but our forefathers who've gone on before. Forefathers of faith who have carried the torch of Jesus down through the ages. We think of those, our forefathers, as well. It wasn't until 1972 that President Nixon declared the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. It's pretty incredible that it was that long. But it was started back in 1910 by a lady who wanted to remember her father for his service to the country. So the Bible doesn't say anything about Father's Day, but it says a lot about honoring fathers and the position of a father. In Genesis, it talks about Jabal and Nabal. Jubal and Jabal. Jabal was the father of those who lived in tents and had livestock, whereas Jubal was the father of those who played the harp and the flute. We know the Bible calls Abraham the father of many nations and honored him with that responsibility of being the father of many nations. Fatherhood holds a special place in God's eyes, and we see how Jesus honored his father many times through Scripture, spoke of his heavenly father. I'll just mention one in John 17:1. Jesus spoke these words and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, and your Son also may glorify you." Jesus had tremendous honor for his father, for doing the will of his father, and just honoring his father while he was on this earth. Paul reminds us too in Ephesians to honor our father and mother, and then he also says that it's the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is that you will live long on the earth. So honoring your father and mother has a special place all through Scripture, not just the Old Testament, but all through Scripture, of honoring our fathers for the role they play in our lives. We could go around the room this morning and talk about our fathers, and I'm sure many good things would be expressed about our fathers. But we only have a limited amount of time, and you know, isn't that the way it feels as being a dad? You have a limited amount of time to get this right. Time is so short. It wasn't long ago your child was a baby, and now they've grown and have children of their own. It doesn't take long. This morning I want to do three things. I want to lay a foundation. I want to have five object lessons that I hope will encourage you as fathers. Then I want to have a blessing for each stage of fathering. So I believe the foundation for all fathers and their motto in life should be Deuteronomy 6:5. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. I believe if every father has that as their motto, as their foundation of everything they do, I think a lot of things that in fathering will go well for them if they keep that in focus and have that in their heart. Why? Why is that so important? Go back to verse 2 of that same chapter. It says, "So your children and their children after them may fear the Lord, your God, as long as you live, by keeping all the decrees and commandments that I give you, so that you may enjoy a long life." I believe the key there is to teach them to fear. Fear is a very misused word, I believe, in our in our vocabulary, we think of fear as being afraid. Last night I was laying in bed. I wasn't afraid, but it just something went through me. And our girls were away, and I thought it sounded like them coming home. It sounded like a door slammed and like the car door or then the house door. And so I just lay there for a while and nothing happens. You know, there's usually a pattern. When someone come home, there's a pattern of noises you hear. And those noises weren't happening. So I told my wife, I'm going to go check this out. So I went downstairs, and, you know, it's a little weird. You hear noises and no one's there. At first I called, no one was there. Downstairs, nothing was changed. Went outside, they weren't even home. But we both heard those noises. And so sometimes fear goes through us. Then we hear that word, we equate that kind of fear with fearing the Lord. And it's not that kind of fear we want to instill in our children at all for the Lord. We want to teach them to honor the Lord out of a heart of love and not wanting to disappoint their Lord, because he is the source of their love and security. Why would you want to disappoint your father? So that's the kind of fear we talk about when we talk about fearing the Lord. Teach your children to fear the Lord's. And your dads, you know, it starts with us. And like Vernon said, it starts so much with us. Like we're holding this sign that says, follow me. I'll show you the way. A couple statistics. Most fathers today say it's harder than it was a generation ago to be a father. In fact, out of just adults polled, it was 57% say it's much more difficult being a father today than it was 20 or 30 years ago. I don't know what some of the older men would say if it was hard back then compared to now. I'm sure we could have a discussion about that. Only 9% of the fathers polled say it's easier today. 32% said it's the same. But among dads polled, 63% say it's harder today to be a dad than ever. I'm talking to a group of fathers here today that I think probably know what it means to be a father. Like, you guys were trained well. You had good fathers, good role models, most of us. So this morning will be reminders. You know, we tend to forget. We get busy. We get going about our businesses and life, and we tend to forget some important things of being a dad. And so I have five objects here that represent certain principles of being a father that I want you to remember, that when you see these objects, that you connect this lesson with that object. And I hope it will bless you and encourage you in being a dad. The first one I have is a disconnect panel. Now, Matt Musser couldn't be here this morning, so he got me this disconnect panel. This disconnect panel, it's not exactly what I wanted, but I think it'll do the trick. I think you understand. So power comes in here, and when it's connected, it goes out through the bottom, I think, or maybe it's the other way around. I'm not an electrician, by the way. So I'm dangerous. That's why I don't play with electricity. So when this is in the up position, we're connected to the power. Okay? When it's in the up position, I'm connected to the power. When it's in the down position, I'm disconnected from the power. My ultimate objective of this was that, so when you hook to a generator, it goes in a down position, you connect to an alternate source, okay? So when it's in the up position, you're connected to the power line, the power grid. When you're in a down position, you're connected to an alternate power source. Make sense? Okay. My illustration here this morning is this. Dads, you're this connecting link, okay? Up here is your children. We're going to say these are your children this morning. And so the point of being this disconnect is that I want you to be connected with your children. Be connected. Be in this upright position. When you're connected to your children, you're having input into their lives. You're speaking into their lives. You're present with them. When you're disconnected, in a down position, and a generator is hooked up, it's an alternate source of power. You have no control of what's being fed into that box. It's coming from a little generator. It could be coming from a different source, and you have no control over that source. But when it's when you're connected to your children, when it's in up position, you're connected with them, and you are being responsible for the input that's going into your children's lives. So that's the disconnect panel. The point is being connected to our children is so important. Understand that there are times when God calls the father home. The father is taken out of the home. That's not the kind of fatherlessness I'm talking about. Psalms 68, verse 5 says, "The father of the fatherless, the defender of the widows." I believe God is near those children. And it's a special, I had the privilege of walking with my nephew when my brother was killed. I had the privilege of walking close with my nephew. And if you have that opportunity, take that opportunity to speak into their lives, to be with them in those moments. It is a sacred time. It's holy ground to walk with someone who is fatherless. But that's not the kind of fatherlessness I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about the kind of fatherlessness of being disconnected from children, being disconnected from your family, being preoccupied with other things, that you're not connected to your children and what's most important. When you're disconnected from your children, someone else will feed them information. They're going to be getting it from another source. Someone else will help determine their worldview, their values. Dad, that's your responsibility. You brought them into the world. That's your responsibility to teach them and be there for them. You know, I didn't say that. That's not coming from me. But it's coming from the mouth of God, that you are to train them. That's your responsibility. And coming from God, I think we better pay attention to what he has to say. I'd like you to listen to a few scriptures about being connected to your children. Psalm 78, verse 5 says, "And he established a testimony in Jacob, and has appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children." So they were to make known the law to their children. And dads, we are commanded by God to make God known to our children. Genesis 18, verse 19, "For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the ways of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." So again, bringing the commands to the household, to the children. Dads, that's our job. God said it. Is that a mic drop moment? God said it. It's our jobs, dads, to make known God's laws to our children. You know, the children of Israel, they took it seriously, this thing of passing on truth to their children. They took it very seriously. They were very intentional to connect in good ways with their children and making that known. I'm sure it didn't look like it does now in how they connected, and I don't know all how that was communicated, but we have opportunities today in our generation to connect with our children. I like to think of it this way. Dads, you are an instrument in God's hand. You're an instrument in God's hand to point your children to Jesus, point the way. Every step along the way, you are to point the way to Jesus. And how is this done? Very familiar verses, Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 7. "These commands that I give you today are upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up." So this assumes that dads are present in the home. And someday, if you're not a dad now, and God gives you children, that will be your responsibility. You are to be there, present with them, and to teach them. You know, there's a lot of emphasis on doing one-on-one time with your children, and I believe that with all my heart. But never forget the power of a family time together, of doing things as a family. I think if we err on the other side, we could play into maybe the I generation, where it's all about me. But when we do things as family, it helps our children to understand that it's all about us. I mean, it's about everybody and not just about me. So working together as families is one way to teach. There's a lot of ways when you're together with your children to teach them. A lot of opportunities driving down the road and someone cuts you off or does something that ticks you off. It's a teaching moment, right? How many opportunities have you had in those situations to teach your children patience, restraint? Things happen when you're in a hurry and someone doesn't go fast enough or turns in front of you, or those big old mean trucks are in front of you and don't get out of your way. And yeah, there's all kinds of opportunities to, maybe you do fly off the handle. Maybe you do say something you shouldn't have said. There's an opportunity to go back and say, you know what? I was wrong. It's a teaching moment. It's connection. How about mealtime? Great time to have discussion, to talk about life and things of your day, events. How about current events? Yeah, that can get our juices going. Current events and politics, and we say things that we shouldn't say, and they're teaching moments. We're teaching our children how to think, how to respond, how to process, how to respect our government leaders. How about a ball game? You're playing ball. You're intense. You're in the heat of the moment. You don't like the ump's call. Maybe you say something you shouldn't have. You're leading. You're teaching. You're training your children. You're teaching your son or your daughter how to play ball. When you get angry, do you go back and say, you know, I was wrong? Do you have enough humility to go back and say, I was wrong? How about joys and sorrows of life? The good times, of celebrating the good times, and being real and transparent in the hard times. How about talking about marriage, dating, gender identity, all kind of those kind of issues? How to treat a woman? It's connection. There's opportunities. How to treat your mother is a great way of teaching them how to treat a woman. How about how to love the Lord? How to walk with the Lord? What it's like to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul? What's that look like? Teach them to connect to the heart of God and to be their personal Heavenly Father. Well, you say, you know, I told them one time. Well, do you know the thousands of messages they're seeing every day? The messages they're being presented with in this world. I did some research, and I don't believe it, but that's what they say, that there's every day, in general, people are seeing 4,000 different messages. Whether it's a logo, a bumper sticker, an ad, something, they're seeing 4,000 messages a day. So our dads, our children out in this world, they're seeing all kind of messages, and it's helping form their thought process, their worldview. Messages about things to buy, things you should have, values, social standards, sexuality, what's cool. And dads, it's usually not you, okay? The message they're getting, just so you know, it's usually not the father. What to wear, what to drink, what to smoke, all these things, what video games, what apps to have, what social media, all these are being bombarded at our children. And we think our one time telling our children what to do is going to cut it. I think it's a great opportunity for mom and dad to sit down and say, you know what? What kind of messages are our children seeing? Like, what's it really like? Just think about your own influence of what you see. It's pretty incredible when you sit down and think about all the influences that are shaping our children, and then we're combating that with one time of saying, I told you this one time. You should know that. Teach them, train them as you sit down, as you stand up, as you walk, so they can learn to build convictions, so they can understand God's principles and God's laws and apply them. Be connected, so that you are there in those moments when your children are being thrown all these messages. You need to be connected to your children. Ways to be connected. Number one is physical touch, appropriate physical touch. It's said that children need 4 hugs a day to survive, 8 hugs a day to be in maintenance mode, 12 hugs a day for growth. How are we doing? 4 to survive, 8 to maintain, and 12 to grow. Think about that. Second thing is to play with your children. Learn to have fun with them, play games. It stimulates their endorphins. It creates oxytocin in the blood. All kind of things happen when you engage in play. Welcome emotions. You know, we laugh together, but do we cry together? Is it okay to express emotions? Listen with empathy. Listen with an intent to understand. Listen well. How about slow down and savor the moments? Slow down and savor the moments you have with your children. Like just when you suck on or you're eating some food and it's really, really good. You feel like I could just eat this forever. You know, we have steaks back here for you guys today. It's Father's Day. We have steaks from Danny like we did last year. Those steaks are the best steaks I've ever had. The best. I was eating one, and I told my wife, this is like candy. This is better than candy. We want to savor that taste. Savor the moments with your children. Like be present. Savor those moments. How about bedtime prayers and chats? A lot of things, good things happen in bedtime prayers and chats. My daughters have a little chair that hangs off the wall. What's it called? I don't even know. The cloth hammock. There you go. It's in the window well of their room. And I love to go in there and sit in that hammock. And the girls are there on their beds, and we just have talks. The last one is show up and be there. Show up with your children in their lives and be there. Dads, be there. Stay connected. Stay connected even when you think they don't want it. Even when you think they don't want to be connected. Stay there. Be present. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. That's number one. Be connected. Don't be disconnected. Every time you see a disconnect box, dads, think about being connected to your kids. When you're disconnected, you have no idea who's feeding the information into your children. Next one is adjustable wrench. Be adjustable, dads. Well, you may say, I'm a half-inch wrench. I was born a half-inch wrench. I'm going to be a half-inch wrench. Don't try to change me. God gave you children. If you're a father, God gave you children. And your half-inch wrench might not fit that 9/16th bolt. Sometimes you get a 9/16th, you get an inch and a quarter, and your half-inch wrench isn't going to cut it. What are you going to do? Are you going to adjust to connect with those children? You may need to teach your second child different than you did your first child, because your second child doesn't learn like your first child. Are you going to adjust? Or are you going to be stuck, said, I'm a half inch, and you're going to fit my mold? And if you don't fit my mold, tough. I've eaten food that I said I'd never eat. My daughters have stretched me in ways that I never thought I would eat food. I've gone to restaurants I would have never went to. I had to adjust because that was important to them. Sure, I love to hunt. Dallas and I can go out and cut wood. That's me. But to eat some foods I've eaten have caused me to adjust big time. How about schedules? Will you adjust your schedules, Dad, to meet the needs of your children? Think about the schedules are pretty important to you. Will you adjust your schedule to meet their needs? Am I willing to think outside the box? You know, there's going to be times in your life that you have no clue. The way you're parenting, the way you're leading, the way you're connecting with that child isn't cutting it. You have no idea. Are you willing to go outside your box to connect with that child? Are you adjustable to the Holy Spirit? You know, there's going to be times in your parenting life that you're going to say, Lord, I have no idea what to do. Give me much wisdom. Give me a word from you to meet the need of my child. Are you willing to listen and to adjust to what the Lord tells you? Don't be stuck on being a half-inch wrench. Be adjustable. Be an adjustable wrench. The next one is closely related to that. It's a tuner. Now, this is Ryan's guitar tuner, and he allowed me to touch his guitar, I think. I'm not very safe, am I? Guitar I played when I was young didn't have a cord, so I have to adjust, right? So this tuner is used to tune this guitar. So I'm going to take this guitar out of tune a little bit, which he allowed me to do if I turned it the right way, he said. There. Okay, so I played guitar back when I was young. I tried, and it never worked for some reason. Then when I cut my finger off, it was kind of like the death sentence. I thought maybe if I would use that for a bar chord, but I'm not persistent enough to do it. I'm sure if Ryan cut his finger off, he'd keep playing. But so when I play guitar, I learned to tune a guitar by the fifth fret. So I'm going to tune this guitar the way I think it sounds right, okay? So just bear with me. Gonna be off. All right, it's close. Now, Ryan, I want you to come up here and tune this with your tuner. Do you want me to hold it? Or you? So you? Is it off?
Yeah. Oh. Thank you.
Got it?
Yeah.
Very good. All right. So what he did, he took what I thought was in tune and tuned it perfectly. So dads, I want you to be a tuner of your children. You know, each one of your child is different. Children is different. You think about children in the Bible, like Cain and Abel and Jacob and Esau, they were different. They weren't the same. So he took each individual string and tuned it to perfection. He plucked each string and tuned it to perfection. I don't know how many strings are in your guitar or how many children you have. Maybe you have a 12-string guitar. Maybe you have a 6-string or a 4-string or a 2-string or a 1-string. But God has asked you to tune each child, to set them on course for their life. So you're the dad. You're showing the way. You're pointing the way. You're the signpost that points them to Jesus. God has given them gifts, abilities, and it's your responsibility, dad, to fine-tune that child, to discover them, and to point them. Proverbs 127:4 says, Psalms 127:4, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. So an arrow is precisely tuned before they shoot it. It's aimed precisely at their target. So dads, as you tune your children, it takes intentionality, it takes connection, it takes being in tune with the Lord to seek direction for each of these children. God has given you responsibility. Be a student of your child. Be intentional. It takes a lot of energy, I understand. With your jobs, with all your other you got to do, your first priority is to your children. It's to be intentional and to tune those strings, those arrows for life, to help them discover who they are and point them in that direction and send them off. My next one is a level. So guys, when you see Ryan pick up this tuner every Sunday, if you're here early enough, or James, they tune their guitar every Sunday. I want you to think about being intentional with your children and tuning them for their lives, being there for them. The next one's a level. This level is very dependable. It's always right. Any builders here? Ben, you're a builder. Do you ever argue with the level? No. Mark, do you ever argue with the level? In general, do you argue with a level?
No.
All right. A level is right, supposedly, all the time. That's why you use a level. It's right. It's dependable. It's there every time. My lessons for this, dads, is when you see a level, I want you to think about dependability, that your children can depend on you. I want to read you some verses. Just think about these verses as I read them. Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. Hebrews 3:14. We have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. 2 Timothy 3:14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned, and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. Philippians 1:27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in the spirit, in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Dads, it's so important that we're grounded in who we are as a dad, as a man, as a follower of Jesus, that we're dependable, that our children can count on us. That when they come home, they know exactly dad's going to be there. Dad's going to be there to listen to them. You know, you may be having a bad day, dad, and I'm guilty as anyone. I could let it show. Like, they know the moment I walk in the door what kind of day I had. But that doesn't mean it's right. We need to be dependable. We need to be reliable for them no matter what happens. I think of Mark's challenge last week when he talked about our Heavenly Father. You know, we have the mentality that I messed up. I hope my dad don't find out. He's going to kill me. And then he said, but when the picture of our Heavenly Father is, I messed up, I must tell my Father. That's a picture of our Heavenly Father, of us going to that our Heavenly Father wants us to go to Him. Can us as earthly dads be that way, that when our children mess up, that they feel free to come to dad because he knows he'll react in a good way? How about your words? Can you be trusted to keep your word? Like, Dad, if you say something to your children, you give a promise that they can trust you. They can trust your word. They've learned that when Dad speaks, I can trust him. I don't need to worry about whether he's not going to come through or not. He's trustworthy. How about your reputation in the community, at work, at church? Dads, are you dependable? Are you reliable? Are you always true? Can you be trusted? No matter whether you're with your family or you're alone, that you're the same. Like this level in my garage reads the same, whether it's standing in the corner or if I bring it to church, this level is always the same. It's dependable. Dads, we need to be dependable. Our children can depend on us. No matter where we go, we're the same dad at work, at home, at church, or alone. The last one, what's this? Can you see? It's a guitar pick. Pick your battles. Pick your battles. You know, a lot of times we get exhausted fighting battles that I don't know if they're all that important to fight. And that might be hard for us as dads in those moments to admit. But sometimes we fight battles that aren't necessarily worth fighting. So I want us to call our attention to pick your battles. You might say to your child, put your coat on, it's cold outside. And they said, ah, it's not cold out, I don't need a coat. Put your coat on, I told you, it's cold outside. I don't need a coat. And we could sit there and fight that battle for the next 15, 20 minutes about putting a coat on. Where I think sometimes natural consequences would solve that in a heartbeat. They can Google whether it's cold outside compared to Antarctica. And they can say, oh, see, Antarctica's colder. It's not cold here. But you let them go outside without their coat and they freeze. What do you think they're going to do the next time? They're going to wear their coat. And sometimes we get caught in the moment of proving or following what we're doing exactly. Maybe Dan could help me out there. But in those battles, sometimes I think those battles aren't worth fighting, where the natural consequence of them not having a coat would help them to understand it's cold outside. How about they come in the house with dirty shoes? They come in their house with dirty shoes and dirty shoes and dirty shoes, and you tell them not to come in the house. And this whole thing starts building and building. I told you not to come in the house. And it just goes and goes and goes. I think it could be solved so much easier if they come in with dirty shoes and they got to wash the floor. They come in with dirty shoes, they're washing the floor. You think they get the message that they shouldn't come in the house with dirty shoes? So I think sometimes the natural consequences would help solve some of these battles that we fight. Now, I'm not talking about maybe they're disrespectful in how they bring things. I think that's separate. They don't need to talk disrespect. But some of the other battles that are surrounding that issue, sometimes maybe they're not worth fighting in the way we fight them. So I have a couple things here I want you to think about of battles to fight. So one thing is issues that are contrary to Scripture. I think they're important that we need to have good discussions around those, of activities of sexual immorality issues or breaking the law or things that go against the heart of God. Those kind of issues. Incidents of disrespect, I think they need to be addressed and not tolerated. Of honoring, Scripture talks about honoring position, father and mother, and honor is huge in the Scripture, and we need to teach honor. And areas of concern and danger. Just for example, one is technology today. I think there's a lot of danger in technology. We need to teach and fight battles and not necessarily fight them in bad ways, but stand firm in helping them understand the dangers of the technology, the potential dangers, not that it's all bad, but how to use it well. And that's the battle worth fighting. Maybe battles to avoid or issues around your own insecurities of, well, when I was young, I did this, so I'm going to protect my child from this in this way. And it's sometimes fought out of our insecurities. Maybe we should examine those kind of things. And then there's battles to defer, maybe conflicts that arise within in a discussion that need to be dealt with at a later time. And sometimes there's battles within a battle that we shouldn't focus on exactly in those moments. And then there's battles where teens want immediate answers, and maybe you're not comfortable giving an immediate answer. And you know, you should say, you know, well, maybe we need both to step back and ponder this a while and defer to a later time. You know, just a side note there, I think in those moments, sometimes it's good to allow your child to talk to someone else who you mutually agree on about something you're discussing. It's just a bunny trail there. So five things I want you to remember. The disconnect box of being connected, the adjustable wrench of being adjustable, the tuner of tuning your children to their calling and their giftedness and what God has for them, the level of being dependable, and pick is picking your battles. Make sure the battles we're fighting are worth fighting. I have a blessing for our fathers before we go. And I broke it into five stages. Now, these aren't necessarily scientifically proven, but this is what I thought. The first blessing I want to give you is from birth to 1 year old. And so I want to bless those fathers to hold their children. Hold them, hold them, hold them. They don't stay that size very long. And when you're holding them, pray over them. Pray about their future, how to lead them, what God has for them. For wisdom to be the best dad you can be in those moments. But hold them, hold them, hold them. My next group of men, fathers, is the molding stage. That's from 2 to 8 years old. Stay committed because they will test every fabric of your body. Stay committed. Don't give up, even when you feel like it. Answer their questions. Answer their questions honestly, specifically. Don't embarrass them for the questions they ask because they want to know. They want to know why, Dad. Why do you walk that way? Why do you carry that way? And you may say, just be quiet. They want to know. It's the molding stage. So I bless you in listening, and listen well. The third stage is the knowing stage, 9 to 16, where you're going to teach them so much about who they are as a child, a woman or a man. You're going to teach them who they are physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. All those things are going to come alive. And Dad, you get to be connected and to be there in those moments. That's exciting times to connect with them in those moments. So I bless you, dads, in the knowing stage and discovering who they are and helping tune them for what God has for them in the future. The next stage is 17 to 21. That's a launching stage where you're launching them. They've discovered who they are, and you're launching them into their future of their calling and giftedness. And you're right there with them, providing support they need during those times. And guess what? That's when it's financial support sometimes. You help them in some projects and entrepreneurial stuff. And yeah, you may be called to have to give some financial ways as well. So I bless you, dads, in the launching stage. Again, to be connected and do it well. And the next stage I call walking stage is 22 on up. Be walk with your children. Be there with them. Be present. Have open communication and be their cheerleader. Dads, you got a great role of being a cheerleader. I don't think any of you dads were cheerleaders in high school. But you get to be a cheerleader of your children as you launch them, as you send them, as you walk with them into what God has called them to be. I have one more category of fathers I want to recognize this morning. If you're here this morning and you have no children at home, I want you to stand up. If you're here this morning and you have no children at home, I want you to stand up. DL, I'm sorry, I should have qualified that. I'm talking about your children have left the nest. I'm sorry. If your children have left the nest, I am so sorry, DL. You have to forgive me. Dads, I want you to look at this group of men. These are the men I want you to go to. These men have walked the walk. They have lived. They have raised their children. They've fought the hard battles of being a dad. Some of them have, I know my dad has laid 2 children to rest. I know Alvin has had a lot of hard experiences in some of his experiences with children. I don't know some of your other stories as well, but you guys all have wisdom that these young fathers need. So young fathers, go to these men and ask your questions. Ask the hard questions and thank God for them. I'm so glad we have this group of men in our church. Thank you. You may be seated. The last thing I want to do this morning is I want to call each of you as men to action. I want to call you to be the dad that we talked about this morning. Be that connected dad. Be the dad that is intentional. Be the dad that walks with his children and finds out their giftings and their best direction that God has for them. You may never feel that you've accomplished or attained, but there is a dad who you know who may be struggling in some area. I want you to reach out to them and encourage them. Encourage them in where they may be weak as a dad or struggling as a dad, with the admonition that when they find resolution in what they're struggling with, that they pass that on to another dad. Do you see how this could catch fire? If we have dads encourage other dads, and they encourage other dads, sometimes we can feel alone and lonely. But I believe God's given us a community for a reason. And we need to use that platform to encourage dads to be the best dad that they can be, and to help them with what they're struggling with and what they're dealing with, so that our world and our communities, our churches can be better places, and their children can have opportunities to grow and flourish in how God created them. So God bless you, dads. Let's fight together. Let's stick together, because it's so worth it, and because God commanded us to do a great job as dads. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. I thank you for each dad here. Lord, I don't know everything that they're struggling with, but you do. So, Lord, I ask you to be present in their hearts and lives. Direct them, lead them. May we be faithful men who call out to you for our strength. Lord, without you, we are nothing. It's not about us, Lord. It's all about you. Help us to remember that. In Jesus' name, amen.